Good morning. It's time for us to begin. It's good to have this number out with us, especially our visitors. We're delighted you came our way. We invite you to come back anytime you can. We'll meet again Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for midweek Bible study. The next Lord's Day at 9:30 for our Bible study and 10:30 for our worship. Before we begin this morning, I have just a few announcements to go over. Those out of town, Elijah's at guard this weekend, so let's remember him. Those we want to remember on our sick list, Beth is down with COVID, so if I don't get around you, please don't take offense to that. I'm just trying to make sure I'm feeling fine, but I just want to make sure nothing comes of that either. So Sharon's sister is doing better, and she's back at the assisted living facility, so let's continue to remember her. She's in the Chicago area, is that? So let's continue to remember her for her, that she'll have continued improvement as well. Let's continue to remember Michael Massey with his recovery. Meetings in the area. Oak Mountain has a meeting with Brett Hoglund that will begin on February 25th through the 28th. And then there's a singing at the Market Street congregation up in Florence. I think that's right, Florence, on February the 23rd. And both those announcements are on, or it's Athens, I'm sorry. I couldn't remember. It's one of the two that was up there, and I took my shot and got it wrong. So up at Athens, and that's on February the 23rd. And both those announcements are on the bulletin board in the back. That's all that I have in the way of announcements. Is there anything else I need to mention this morning before we begin? Not those that will take part in our worship. After we have a moment of silence, Sam Friesen will have our scripture reading. That'll be Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Rex Biddle will award our opening prayer. Bob Harvey will be our song leader this morning. His numbers are posted on the board to my right. Steve Friesen will be waiting on the Lord's table. Randy Jamerson will bring us the message of the hour. And Seth Biddle will close our worship with prayer. If there is nothing further, we'll have a moment of silence, then we'll have our scripture reading.
Reading from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly jointed together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Please bow with me. Our dear God and Father who art in heaven, we come before thee with great love and devotion for you, that we have gathered to worship your most holy name, to bring glory to you as servants of yours, to praise you and glorify you together, that we might be built up on our most holy faith. Father, we are mindful that we come before thee as sinful creatures, wretched in our lives for succumbing to temptation, giving in to the lust of the flesh from time to time, and falling short of your glory in our own lives. We pray, Father, that you will forgive us for our sins as we lay them before you, that as we repent, that you will turn your wrath away from us, that you will see again the beauty of Christ Jesus living in us as we lay aside all filthiness of the flesh and the concerns and lust for this life. We seek to follow you, Father, and to be a glory to you in the daily walk that we make, that we will live and walk like Jesus did, accomplishing your good works, so that those round about us can see your love and your mercy and your kindness living in us. We pray, Father, that as that message goes forth, that we are simply reflecting Jesus Christ, that he might shine forth in our lives, for people to be drawn to him and the sacrifice that he made for us and for them. We pray, Father, that we will be used as instruments of righteousness, that you will show us the good work we should do and the path that we should go, that we will be able to carry the banner of the cross effectively. We will share the good news of the gospel, that message will be clear and simple, and that they may find hope of eternal life that we enjoy in Jesus Christ from you. Father, we are thankful to you for the safety that you've given each one to be here this morning. We thank you for bringing us together, for keeping us a faithful group in this family as we strive to hold up the banner of truth, to speak those things that are good and the righteous, to continue in faithfulness as a servant, a faithful servant of yours. We thank you, Father, for the example of Jesus that we can follow and know how to worship and serve you in spirit and in truth, for you are Heavenly Father in the spiritual realm, in the heaven of heavens. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement that we'll receive from the messages that we've studied today, for the example of the elder of James in the church in Jerusalem, who wrote such a beautifully practical letter that will teach us how to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, to overcome temptation and to live by the faith that we claim and believe in. We're thankful for the message of this hour in the worship, where we will be encouraged to be generous and cheerful in sharing the things that you have given to us, that you have given us those responsibilities to carry out the work that you would have us to do, and you've given us talents and abilities. May we recognize those, may we have courage to use them, and glorify your name in what we say and do. Father, we're mindful of those who can't be with us this morning, who are hindered from being here, especially those who are sick and suffering from ailments of the flesh. We pray that you'd be with them as we've named them this morning, that are weighing on our hearts, that are of our regular concern, that they may feel better and be able to attend more regularly the services that we have together, that they can be encouraged and that we will be encouraged by them. We pray for those that are here and you've blessed with a better health and improvement, and pray that those might continue. Sister Sharon, we thank you for Sister Beth for the things that you've done for her. We pray that she might recover from COVID as soon as possible and have no residual effects. We pray for Rebecca. We pray for Bob. We pray for Randy's mother and so many others that we can mention on a regular basis. We pray, Father, that you'll be with Michael Massey and help him to find some relief for the pain that he endures. We thank you for Brother Christie, for the continued health and strength you've given him to be here regularly. Watch over and care for us all, Father, as we go through this life, for it is a fragile existence that we have here that we devote to use in service to you. We pray that you would hold us up, give us strength, give us wisdom, that we might do what is right and good, and that we can be a good example to those round about us. Father, be with us now in the rest of this service, that as we sing songs of praise, continue our prayers, continue the contribution that we will make, and remember the Lord Jesus' death and that makes all of this possible, including this prayer. We thank you, Father, for giving the message that we have hope through that sacrifice that he made. We are humbled. We are saddened by what he went through. We are joyous that he did so and that he lives again and promises eternal life through him in his name, which you have made possible to give him eternal life to share. We pray these things in the Lord Jesus' name himself. Amen.
Praise Jesus suffered for the grace. For what I'm about to read you, I want to apologize. It's a historical document. It is a bit graphic, but sometimes we need to be reminded of what he suffered all along. The gospel writers didn't give much description to Jesus' scourging. A depiction was unnecessary because throughout the Roman Empire, people understood the severity of this beating. Isaiah 52:14 suggests that the Romans beat Jesus so brutally that people were appalled to look at him. His form did not look like that of a son of man or human. A very literal translation reads, "So marred from the form of man was his aspect that his appearance was not as that of a son of a man." This might also explain why Jesus was not easily recognizable after his resurrection. Jesus not only died for our sins, but he suffered to save us. His love is so powerful that he endured not only death on the cross, not only a crown of thorns, but also one of the most savage punishments given by the Roman government. The purpose of the flagrum was to beat a person to the point of death. It literally pulled the flesh from the body. The Roman scourge, also called the flagrum or flagellum, was a short whip made of three or more leather straps connected to a handle. From this word, we get our English word fillet, referring to a strip of boneless flesh or a slice of meat, which is a good description of what this weapon would do to a human body. The leather straps were knotted with a weight at the end and embedded with metal, nails, and bone shards. Sharp fragments from the knuckle bone of a sheep were often used. The flagrum would sometimes contain a hook at the end and was given the terrifying name scorpion. Scourging would quickly remove the flesh, leaving skin hanging like ribbons, and would expose a bloody mass of muscle and bone, sometimes even exposing the internal organs. The flagrum was a powerful weapon of torture and a brutal punishment carried out by professionally trained soldiers, where the victim would be stripped naked, tied, or shackled to a sturdy column or between two columns. Two soldiers, one standing on each side, would alternate hits, beating the victim continuously. According to Jewish law, you could not beat someone more than 40 times, so the Jews always stopped at 39, lest they miscount and accidentally sin against God. The Romans, however, had no such law. This punishment was not so much about the number of lashes as it was about beating the person within a step of death and then backing off. Concerning the Romans' flagrum, the church historian Eusebius of Caesarea recounts in vivid, horrible detail a scene of scourging. He says, "For they say that the bystanders were struck with amazement when they saw them lacerated with scourges, even to the innermost veins and arteries, so that the hidden inward parts of the body, both their bowels and their members, were exposed to view. The ends of the flagrum were short, which gave the soldiers more control over the cuts. Long ends would risk the chance of severing arteries in the neck and rendering a quick death. The purpose of this torture was to prolong suffering. Sometimes, if they intended for the person to die, they would first dip the scourge in goat's blood to cause infection to create a slow and painful death. The point was to beat a person and leave them alive, although historians wrote that sometimes those who were sentenced with this punishment did die. The victims were left to live the rest of their lives scarred and disfigured and would be a walking billboard saying, "Do not defy the Romans." The soldiers were trained to begin with the upper torso. They would beat down the back, down the chest, up and back of the legs, above the knees and up the arms. Sometimes more than one kind of whip was used on the legs and arms, but the flagrum beat the body. The weighted ends of this weapon would tenderize muscle and would strike with a concussive force that could bruise internal organs. Against the chest, especially with the arms raised, this beating would cause a contusion of the heart, sometimes predisposing the heart to rupture if the beating was followed by crucifixion. Blood loss during a scourging was severe. Sometimes the victim lost consciousness from extreme blood loss, and all the soldiers aimed to their cuts, archaeologists have found the remains of scourge victims who had ends hit them both in the face and on top of the skull. Josephus, a first century historian, noted that certain rebellious Jews were torn to pieces by the scourge before being crucified. Jesus' beating was so severe that he was unable to carry his cross. By the time Jesus was on his way to Golgotha, he would have been suffering from both blood loss and shock. His breathing was probably labored, his blood pressure would have dropped, and his body was most likely shaking and trembling, with his skin dangling in ribbons. Another part I read was that they were also seeking to get a confession, and the beating would stop when the confession came. What could Jesus confess? He was sinless. Sometimes we just need to know where the blood came from. Let's give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we are so truly thankful that your Son was willing to do what he did. It is truly mind-boggling for us to know that he would choose such a way. And yet he did out of love for us. How can we help but adore him? Father, as we break this bread, we ask that is to remind us of your Son's body, sacrificed in such a way. Help it to remind us of his body. Please bless it to us, that it will always remind us of the price that is paid for us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let us continue our prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we are about to partake of the cup, we are reminded of the blood that was so callously spread by men, torn from the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Father, as we take this cup, we ask your blessing upon it. Help us to always remind us of the price that was paid for our sin, knowing full well that your Son committed no crime, no sin against you. And it was because of this that he was able to do what he did. Thank you for his sacrifice. Help us to always be mindful of him as we take this cup. We ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm looking to
the
Lord. We set aside this time for collection, and it is not an obligation of any of our guests or visitors. It is solely the obligation of the congregation that worships here. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so truly thankful to be called your children, to be able to give back that portion that we have set aside in our heart for you, knowing full well that you can accomplish any goal you choose without our assistance. But yet through faith you ask that we give back to you. Please help us to give back in a joyful and pleasing manner in thy sight, that the work here may be furthered, that the seats may be all filled one day. We ask this in Christ's most holy name. Amen.
Please take a moment to put your bookmark at number 335. The song following the lesson will be number 335. It will be the song Living for Jesus, 335. Now before the lesson, number 374, bring out the message, 374. And those that can and wish may stand at this time. Sing number 374.